Is it on? Yeah, there we go. Well, good morning. As Pastor Jerome said, many of you know me. Many of you don't.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Feels like I'm in a meeting all of a sudden. But for those of you who don't, my name is Jeff. My beautiful wife, Lauren, is there in the front row with Asher on her lap and also our fourth child, not quite yet on her lap, but on her lap. Soon to be born. It's our fourth and final child. Yeah, amen. Our other two are with the kids this morning, Owen and Sadie. But, you know, before I say too much, I want to give honor to Rock Solid Church. You guys know you have an awesome church, right? You know that? That would have been a good place for an amen or a cheer or something. But the leadership, you have such awesome, godly leaders at this church. Amen. You know, Pastor Jerome, I've known, I don't even know how long now, probably 8 years, something like that, because he was coming down to Tucson when we were at the church in Tucson. And, about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, we were sent out from the church in Tucson to plant a church in Poughkeepsie. Our first Sunday in New York, Pastor Jerome had me here to preach. And whether you guys know it or not, we've been kind of part of the extended family of Rock Solid all this time. My relationship with Pastor Jerome has grown a lot over the years. He's become very much like a father to me. And so we've been doing our thing for 5 years. A very short version of the story is, for 5 years we've been laboring and pushing and praying and preaching and sharing the gospel with people. And, despite a lot of our best efforts and prayers, we weren't having the impact that we really wanted to. And the big question is why, and I don't think I have a fully satisfactory answer for either myself or you guys. What I know is, one thing we learned in church planting, you get this in ministry, but particularly in church planting, it has a way of revealing your strengths and weaknesses. And even though that's painful sometimes, that's really necessary. Because contrary to what I've believed most of my life, I'm not perfect. And neither are you. My wife said a big amen to that one. So a few months ago, we really started praying and asking God for direction because it just felt like, we don't want to spin our tires, if this isn't where the Lord has us. Sometimes you can be so committed to something because you want it, not necessarily because the Lord's doing it. And the Lord's with you. The Lord will bless you in it. But so we really started to pray. I called Pastor Jerome back then, said, pray with us, pray for us. And we really decided that it was probably time to move on from there. And as we continued to pray and seek the Lord, and Pastor Jerome came down and met with me, we started talking and kind of went, well, why don't we just come up to Rock Solid? Serve the Lord there. We'd get a family. We know a lot of you already. It's not like we're coming into an unknown thing, because the thought of going into another unknown area to try and start another work from scratch didn't sound terribly appealing at the moment. The thing is, though there have been moments of discouragement, moments of frustration, we're not ending on a note of discouragement or frustration. We never felt burned out on ministry, like, that's it, I'm done serving God. I know some people have gotten to that place, but that's never been us. We just want to serve God. We want to build the kingdom, and we couldn't think of a better place than here to come. And so I'm really excited. You guys, like it or not, are going to be seeing a lot more of us. Amen. And so, yeah, I don't think I can think of anything else to say, so I'll let Jerome say whatever he wants to say.
Oh, first of all, that's a miracle. Thanks, brother.
You told me I only had 20 minutes.
Thanks, brother. Well, you know, I just want to reiterate just how powerful of a statement that you just heard. When a man would humble himself and say, I don't know if I'm walking out in the exact calling that I'm supposed to be. Because sometimes people don't know where their giftings are and their talents are, and they spend their whole lives never doing anything. Amen? Thank God for courage in stepping out. But then finding out, I'm probably going to be more fruitful in this. And let me tell you something. Pastor Jeff is a teacher. He's pastoral and he's a teacher. And we're very grateful for the gift that he has. And I am just so grateful and so proud just to walk alongside of him, because for a man to say, I think I need to step down, that takes a lot. Because sometimes pride doesn't let us say that, amen? Sometimes we just keep doing things even if they're wrong. How many marriages struggled? I know I did in the beginning. I'm the only one. I feel so alone. Because I only did what I knew and I didn't know anything else. And then my wife explained some things to me. And then Pastor Fink bishoped my soul. And things started to change. And I realized just how amazing marriage can be according to the Word of God. But we're going to have to lay down what we think and who we are so that he's glorified. Amen? This is about him being glorified. This isn't about us. And so I'm just so grateful for the Rossmans. Jeff's got an amazing wife, beautiful children. And we look forward to seeing how God uses them to expand the kingdom of God walking alongside of us. Amen? Wonderful. And we look forward to all that God's going to do in each one of our lives. Every single person here with a calling on your life. Every one of you have a calling. Tell your neighbor, say, I have a calling. All right. See, most people, I shouldn't say most, many people never step out into it. So tell your other neighbor, say, I'm stepping into mine. Yeah. See, it's a decision that you got to make. I heard George loud and clear. I believe George is in his calling. George is an encourager. George just loves with a purity. He apologizes way too much. Yeah, I know, George, you're sorry for apologizing too much. But but you know what? George fills a beautiful spot in this house because he just loves. He picks up after your children when you leave the sanctuary. He's pulled gum off of chairs and cleaned up underneath your chairs. And he takes the iron and he gets the wax off the chairs after the candlelight service, which there's one in the back there, George. And so, no, it's all right. I know, you're sorry. But but what we're going to do is look at where your gifting is. And I really believe this year it's a time for you to step out into it. Stop waiting for someone else, but for you to actually utilize the call of God on your life. And your gift is going to impact other people. That's what your gift is for. It is not for yourself. It is for the kingdom of God, and it is to impact other people's lives. That's what your gift is there for. Listen, Deirdre has a gift of decorating. Amen? She is amazing. And can I tell you, my wife loves Deirdre because my wife used to do it all the time. And but you know what my wife had to do? She's got some control issues too. Oh, those of you who just used to decorate with her, no. But she did it for years and she had a way of doing it. And so for her to step back and allow someone else to step in, see, that's a key to leadership. She struggled with that because she didn't know Deirdre's style or the way she did it. And so she was struggling. Oh, what's it going to look like? I want you to know, every leader does that when they look out at everybody here. When you step out in your calling, oh, what's it going to look like? It's not going to be perfect all the time, amen? Amen? But we want you to step out and do what God's called you to do. And now, because my wife stepped back and took her hands off, wow, Deirdre gets to express the gift that God has given her. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And then she has her little elf, Garrett, working with her all the time. So she comes up with the ideas, and he runs around with his little hammer and his nail, and he puts all things together that she built. See, they're a wonderful team. Can I tell you, whatever it is, whatever your gift is, utilize it. You know, thank God Garrett didn't say, Hermie doesn't want to make toys. You know what I mean? But he wanted to walk alongside of his... I'm sorry. I apologize. I couldn't help myself. That was always one of my favorite lines in the whole movie when we were growing up. But because he said, I'll serve alongside of my bride too in her gift. It's powerful. It's powerful. Can we encourage each other in the gifts? Strengthening one another with the gifts. Building each other up in the most holy faith. This morning, with the little time that we have left, if you have your Bibles, I believe that it's time to agree. Amen? Amen. I believe it's time to agree. Tell your neighbor, say, I agree. With the Word of God. All right. So you're all done disagreeing. You're all done disagreeing with the Word of God. Yes. It's time to just simply agree. Because when you read it and you say, yeah, well, that was them, not me, you disagree with the Word of God. The only thing you're allowed to do is say, I agree with what the Word of God says I can do, and who I am. This is a year that we're going to agree with what the Word of God says. Your experience is going to change, and we're not building churches or the kingdom of God on experiences. Thank God for that, amen? Because I've had some rough experiences with you, I mean with some people, in another church. But I agree with the calling of God on my life. I agree with the calling of God on your lives. And I agree that together we can expand the kingdom all the days of our lives together. No matter where you go, the Hassingers are in Haiti and they're expanding the kingdom of God in Haiti. They started teaching at the school on Saturdays and they're preaching the word of God at a school with between 30 and 60 kids. On Saturdays. How powerful is that? And listen, we support the Hassingers. If you don't have a missionary that you guys support, we would encourage you to, you know, whether it's $5, $10, $20, $100 a month, whatever you can do, you can just send it in. Kristen will take care of it and make sure that it goes to Haiti to help them build the kingdom of God in Haiti. That's what we want to do. Amen. We support other missionaries, whether they're with Overland, wherever they are. They stepped out in their calling, and now we as a body help them fulfill that with a small donation. How wonderful is that? Listen, if you want to go live in Haiti, we'll support you too. No hot showers. Those are done, just so you know. No screens on your windows. Bugs everywhere. Hot. But you know what? When you're called, none of those things matter. You don't get distracted by your surroundings. And so the question this morning is, have you been distracted by your surroundings? Have you been distracted by your spouse? Have you been distracted by your children? Have you been distracted by your job? Have we been distracted by yesterday? Have we been distracted by our natural desire? Because now it's time to agree with what he said. And I like his words, because his words said that I'm a new creation. Amen? He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's men and women, tell your neighbor, say, that's you. If you're in Christ, in other words, if you've received him as your Lord and Savior, repented doesn't mean saying you're sorry. It means saying I'm not walking the way that I walked before. I'm all done with the drugs. I'm all done with the drinking. I'm all done with the carousing. I'm all done with selfishness. I'm all done with my arrogance. I'm all done living for me. I'm done with that lifestyle. Now I'm turning and I'm going to give my life as an offering to the only one that can save me and set me free. So it's not just saying you're sorry. The American church has turned it into that. Just say this little prayer and then live any way you want. Wrong answer. He said, there's one way that you're going to live according to his word. And he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. Old things have passed away. Old thought processes have to pass away. They pass away when we renew our minds and we agree with him and him alone. He said, behold. I love that word. Behold. Just think of angels saying it. You know, behold, all things have been made new. This is a new year. It's a new season. Don't be carrying your bags in. Drop your bag from 2020 back at the door and don't bring it into this year. Don't bring in your thoughts of the last year. Don't bring in your struggles from last year. Don't bring them things in. Listen, you truly are free indeed. Amen. You are free to do the will of your Father. You're free to dance. You're free to sing. You're free to shout. You're free to preach the word of God. You're free to lead people to Christ. You're free to pray for the sick and watch them recover. You're free to do all that God's called us to do. You're free to love one another, to build each other up in the most holy faith. We are free indeed. Amen? We're not in bondage. We're not bound. Oh, the things of the world got shut down. Thank God we're in this world. We're not of it. So it didn't affect us like it affected the rest of them that are out there just living for the pleasure of themselves and finding ways to be distracted. How many in the church? Not here. How many in the church were distracted with the cares of this world? How fast could we possibly run? Every new thing, shoom, 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 satisfy the eyes, satisfy the eyes, satisfy the eyes. And then it got shut down. Hallelujah, it got shut down. The church said, what? What do we do now? What we were supposed to? Pray, worship, preach the word of God, study to show ourselves approved, build the kingdom of God. Not running around after the things of this world. All things have become new. Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. It's a new year. It's time for some newness. You know what happens when newness starts to take over our lives? Then we have a new way of speaking. And that's really what happens. When that newness starts to invade our hearts, we have a new way of speaking. Instead of complaining, did anybody besides me complain about last year? Just me again. I am very lonely up here this year. This year starting off all by myself. We complained. I'm not bringing that into this year. Listen, has he prepared you to walk through whatever comes? Has he made provision for you to be victorious every day in 2021? Has he gone before you? Is he your rear guard? Is there anything impossible for him that believes? None of it. So it's already been taken care of. God didn't, he sits there, he already knows what's going to happen by the end of tomorrow. And he said, I'm calling on the body of Christ. And I need you guys to fulfill that plan that I've written over your life. Don't worry about the provision. Tomorrow's provision will be there. Next week, by the end of next week, oh, it's going to be incredible. You're going to look skinnier. Your breath is going to be worse than it is today. I don't know if you've ever fasted before, but let me tell you something. It affects every area of your life. And I just want you to, I had this thought. Me and my wife were praying the other morning. And we were just sitting on the couch praying and just crying out to God. And this thought came to my life, into my mind. And I want you to look at this year. Remember the day you got baptized. Do you remember that day? I remember that day I came up out of the water. When we were going down, it was a sign of death and the burial of that old man. Amen? And that's what this year is. This year, before we even get going in this year, it is just like that, that death and that burial of everything that distracted the body of Christ last year. Of how we, some held back, they didn't press in, complaining, trying to find a way, staying in their home and not doing anything, not even strengthening themselves in the Lord. But this is a time and a season for just burying that old thought process. That old man, everything about it was wiped off of you. And I don't know about you, but I remember coming up out of that water. I was in a pool. We have some pictures of it. And I remember coming out of it. I didn't know what was going to happen that year. I don't know about you, but I didn't have a clear picture because I had just gotten saved. I didn't know the word of God. But when I come up out of that water, there was an expectation. There was an understanding that I had been made clean. Every single lie destroyed. Every sin I'd ever committed, it was running off into the pool. Every droplet coming off was taking the filth of that old man, the old thought process, the old way of life, and the destructive nature that we had, and washing it away, and all things became new. You remember that moment when you came up and the waters parted? I don't know if you had the dove come down or what happened or what your thoughts were, but I remember mine. There was such an expectation when I come up out of that water. Man, this is incredible. This is what God's word said. This is what they taught us. This is what they trained us in. And I am so excited about what God is getting ready to do. Can I tell you, that's what 2021 is. When we come into here, you're coming up out of that water again, and everything has been made new. You are a new creation. You are not allowed to complain like you did last year. I heard some of it. And I did some of it. But this is a washing and a regeneration of the Spirit of God now filling us with a fresh infilling, where our thoughts are no longer according to the cares of this world, but our thoughts are for the kingdom of God. And I remember even coming out of the pool and still soaking wet, taking the towel, and even the last drops of that old lifestyle, just wiping them off from the top to the bottom, shaking it all off, and having not allowing any of that to control my future. And I want you to know, last year cannot control your future. It was just such a beautiful, vivid picture. And I was trying to find a picture for it of someone coming up out of the water, just water flying everywhere. And I saw this one with this little boy. He was probably about 10 years old, maybe 12. And he's sitting there, and a pastor is speaking, and he's getting ready to baptize him. And he's standing there, and the pastor says, "And I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus." And he just sitting there goes, "I'm ready." And he just dives under the water. I pray that that's your thought right now. That this year, you're ready to dive into what God has called you to. No longer looking at what you can't do. Because all things are possible for them to believe. All things. There's nothing impossible for you. So that was my vision, my picture. And now I want you to know that he's able. And we got a few minutes left, so I want to get into, had to cut this apart a little bit. But as we prepare for this fast, I know some people started getting all weak in the knees, just the mention of the word fast. It used to mean something really cool when you were a kid. That motorcycle's fast, yeah. That car's fast, ooh, I can't wait till I drive. Can't wait to get my foot on that pedal. And now you're in church and fast means something different. And everybody wants to hit the brake instead of the gas pedal. But I want you to know that when you fast, according to the word of God, your foot is on that gas pedal. And your life starts to change forever and ever. And we're reminded in Joel chapter 2, which we've read many times, in verses 12 to 16. He says, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate." Don't you ever doubt that. Your God is gracious and he is compassionate. "Slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and relenting of evil." Who knows whether he will not turn, relent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord our God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. And we see in here they didn't leave anybody out, amen? He said, call the congregation, sanctify, set apart. This is a time where we need to set our lives apart. We've come through the feasting. And my goodness, have you guys feasted? I just want to say. So did I. We've come through the feasting. And now it's a time of sanctifying, a time of setting our lives apart, of starting out this year saying, I want you more than I want food. I want your plan for my life. And I want to be able to hear you even clearer. It's a time of letting go. And listen, if you've never fasted before, I understand the apprehension. Can I tell you, every year before the fast, I get apprehensive. I know, where's Kia? I know she does too. And last year, Kia, her and Adrian were talking. Adrian doesn't even go to our, she's down in Missouri. She's been here for years with us. And she calls Kia. All right, Kia, what's the fast going to be this year? Did they say how long it's going to be? Isn't that amazing? It's not if we're going to fast, but how long is it going to be? Isn't that what the flesh says? But if you've never fasted and you get nervous, we've all been there. And fasting isn't trying to get God to do something. Fasting is about desiring him more than we do the flesh. Because if there's one thing our flesh likes, it's food. And a lot of what we eat isn't any good for us. But for some reason, they keep making it. I'm not so sure the government really cares about what you eat. And I don't know if they want to keep you healthy or they want to keep you sick. I'm not sure what they're trying to do by the junk they're feeding everybody in America. I say, well, there we go. Now you know how my wife makes me eat. So, I mean, why don't they make fruits and vegetables cheap? Right? Instead of goldfish. Cheese, it's anything with cheese. I'm trying to get back on track here. I'm just thinking about food. But as we prepare for a fast, this is about denying ourselves. And listen, if you're a little bit nervous, you never fasted before. There's people in here today that have never fasted before last year. Never fasted. But can I tell you, once you start to fast, it changes your life forever. If you've never fasted for more than a day, just do a meal. Try a meal. But in that time of prayer and fasting, make sure that you're praying and not just sitting there or working through your lunch. I did that in the beginning. I stayed as busy as I could because all I could think about was cheese. That was it. No matter what I was doing, this big round chunk with one piece missing. It's all I could see. And I just worked and worked and worked and worked. Yep, I did. I fasted for the whole day. I didn't do nothing. The only thing I did was starve myself for a day. Because I didn't realize how much my body was controlling or my mind was controlling myself instead of being led by the Spirit of God. And so if we're going to fast, we're going to spend that time in prayer instead of eating. All right? And if you're nervous, we understand. I was just talking to a couple of gentlemen, and there's a great book by Jensen Franklin on fasting. And I gave them the book earlier, and they started fasting already because they got so excited about fasting. Can I tell you, that's the body of Christ. That's the way our hearts need to prepare for this. Not, oh, what do I have to give up? But instead, oh, what am I going to hear? How is God going to transform my thought process in the midst of this time where I deny my flesh? I pick up my cross and I follow him. And fasting is, we see in the word of God, it talks about returning to me with fasting. We know in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, when you fast. So it's in the Old and the New Testament, and it's about denying yourself. Listen, your body can sustain it. If you are on meds and stuff, please see your doctor. Please see your doctor on what you can do, all right? We're not telling you to just go cold turkey on that. Please see your doctor. As we look at, in this time of fasting, it's a time of consecration or setting yourself apart. And it's not just, the word fast, it actually means to shut your mouth. That's what it means. Close your mouth. I think sometimes we need to fast all year when it comes to words that come out of our mouth. Amen? But he says to close your mouth. You know, the scripture said you got a problem with eating, put a knife to your throat, threaten yourself. That's when you know it's bad. When you got to threaten yourself, all right? But it's about food. Okay, I know people, you know, some people say, well, I fast television. That's wonderful, but that's not a biblical fast. That's part of it. I want to encourage you that as we spend this time in fasting and prayer, that you would lay aside the television, especially the news. Yes. That'll bring you down into a pit real fast, won't it? That'll suck the life right out of you, your faith out of you, and you'll start getting on your soapbox and throwing things at it and everything else because of what we see, which is usually negative because that's what sells. Isn't it amazing how in the natural mind of men and women, the negative sells? That's why we go back and we read it again or we watch it. That's what they know. They know how to make money because they know the mind and where it goes. But to set that aside, if you are going to watch something that builds your faith. Only that which builds your faith. We have right now media that we pay for so everybody can have it in your house. All you need is an email address, and you can sign up for it. And then you sign up with your email address, and it's all Christian programming. It's trainings and teachings and all kinds of stuff you can study on there. You watch it right on your television. You know, we talked about our boys and video games and stuff, just going to set them aside. Did you tell them that? You didn't? Okay, boys. Just so you know. Love you. But it's a time of consecration because I don't want anything distracting us from walking in what God's called us to do. And I believe that God wants your ear. And I believe that what he wants to speak is transformational. So don't be apprehensive about it. If you haven't done it before, do a day. If you've done a day, do 3 days, do a week, whatever you have, whatever you think you can do. And then we're going to have prayer from 6 to 7 every morning downstairs, 5 days a week. So we'll be down there from 6 to 7, and every night, 5 days a week, we'll be 6 to 7 downstairs. Just come in the back door, all right? And then we have prayer from 12:30 to 1:30 on Wednesday. We also have prayer from 9 to 10. Here on Sunday mornings. Prayer is the thing that's going to destroy the works of the evil one. When we come together in prayer, it's powerful because the Bible says where one puts 1,000, two put 10,000. So as a body of Christ, if we're going to change this area, we're going to have to walk together in agreement. And we're going to have to agree with the Word of God that there are times that we call a sacred assembly or a time of setting our consecration before the Lord, setting our lives on hold and saying, Lord, because I'm so in love with you, I want to empty myself of all the distractions and I want you more than I want life itself. You know, it's about our spirit. Your spirit desires to fast. It really does. If we're going to walk in the Spirit of God desires for us to step away from the food for a while. He wants to walk closer with the Lord, and he wants you to be able to hear everything that God is speaking. It's a time to look to the Lord and deny our flesh. It's a time to step back and listen only to the voice of the Lord. You know, sometimes in the beginning, you might get a headache. A lot of people get a headache, and then they start, it's the devil. I know, it's the devil. I'm going to eat. It's usually the caffeine that you've been cranked out on for the last year or the sugar that you are addicted to. Can I tell you, sugar is a destroyer of the human body. It destroys people's lives and brings them to an early grave. It will destroy you. And some people have a hard time giving that up. Am I the only one again? My wife has cut me back a lot on it, and I'm very grateful for her. Very, very thankful. But I want you to know, when you consecrate yourself, when you step back and say, I'm not feeding you what I have been, I'm going to feed you the Word of God. We're going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to listen to what God has to say. I'm going to lay the food aside. You start to get a headache, press through. Press through. It will go away. And then when I want to encourage you, drink a lot of water. Water is a purifier. Water is a cleanser. Water is going to wash away the toxins that you have been shoving down your head this whole holiday season. You didn't even want it, but it was there. You didn't even like it. Well, I'll try it anyway. I didn't like it last year. I'll give it another shot. Our bodies are filled with toxins, and as we go into, and these are just the natural side effects of a fast. The supernatural side effects outweigh the natural side effects, but the reality is that when we go into a time of fasting, your body starts to purify itself. There's been people with heart disease that it helps, type 2 diabetes it helps. All kinds of healing properties come from fasting in your natural man. So there's that aspect of it also. It's one of the healthiest things you can do is to set it aside and to fast. And there'll be things that, like we said, you know, you'll feel like in the morning sometimes you'll have to get a wire brush and scrape your tongue because of the toxins that are leaving your body. Everything starts to change. Please bring mints to church. Buy extra, Kim, this week, all right? We'll put them out. We don't want the people that are visiting leaving. It's time to sit with the Word of God and allow it to fill your mind and your will and your emotions. The Word of God has the answer for you. It has the answer for your marriage. It has the answer for your children. It has the answer for your finances. It has the answer for your job. It has the answer for your coworkers. It has the answer for your future. It has the answer for all of eternity. The Word of God has every answer that you're going to need. Outside of the Word of God, man has filled themselves up with the foolishness of this world, which is all temporary. And I know I've shared it before, but I'm reminded of my dad sold all of it. He was a plumber, and he's shutting things down now at 82. He'll be 83 in May. And we walked in the shop. He got rid of all of his galvanized fittings, finally. Nobody's used galvanized fittings in 20 years. But he kept them because you always keep your old fittings. You never know if you might need one. And he finally took them to the scrapyard, and we were standing in the garage, and he looked in the bins, and he said, what did I do it all for? My father didn't walk with the Lord. He didn't accept Christ till a few years ago. He said, what did I do it all for? Why did I run so hard and so strong? Why did I put in 16, 18-hour days to build one garage, then another garage, and then a 4-bay pole barn, and then another garage where we keep the equipment, and 2 more garages down back? What did I do it all for? He said, those bins are as empty as the day that I built them. Here at the end of his days, or closer to the end of his days, at 82 years old, the bins are as empty as the day that he built them. The natural always fades away, and it never satisfies. But the thing, the plan that God has for you are the souls of men and women around you, and that's eternal. But we're going to have to hear the voice of God in order to live and act according to the Word of God so that he gets the glory, amen? And then people's lives are changed and are drawn to him. Because one day you live long enough and you get to that age, 80, 82 years old, 83 years old, whatever it is, and you look at all that you have had, and now you're selling off everything and downsizing and look and say, why did I kill myself for this all these years? Every person at the end comes to that same thought process. Because you're an eternal being and the natural doesn't satisfy. And that's what fasting does. It realigns us. It opens up our understanding. It renews our mind. It strengthens our emotions. Because how many know that our emotions can lead us astray? When you're drinking water, you know, sometimes if you want to drink a little juice, it's fine. Because, you know, some people have never drank. There's people that don't even like water. It's like they don't like themselves. You're 98% water. You know what I mean? I mean, you're made up of a lot of water. We gotta enjoy water. It's the best thing for you. You've got to drink it. I would encourage you to drink a gallon a day. Yeah, don't give me that look. You should see people. You kidding me? I haven't drank a gallon in 6 months. Now you want a gallon a day. So we're going to make sure that as we go into this fast, it's a time of consecration. It's a time of separation. It's a time to be with the Lord. It's a time to hear his voice more clearly. We're not twisting God's arm. It's a time of surrendering who we are to the will of the Father. Jesus said that fasting, there'll be a time for fasting. And he said, when you do, don't walk around like a peacock and tell everybody, I'm fasting for 3 days now. Don't you feel sorry for me? Don't I look spiritual? You want me to touch you? He said, don't tell anybody you're fasting outside the church. We're doing it as a body. But anybody outside, he said, wash your face. Put on your best clothes. Smile. That'll be a miracle right there through a fast. Just get through today with a smile. We haven't even started yet. Stop looking at me like that. You talk about fasting. Honey, we're looking for another church. These guys are out of control. It's an action that we can do to unlock that which God desires for our lives. I believe that in this year, he wants to unlock something beautiful in you. Because I know there's a lot more in you than you realize. I know there's more in me than I have allowed to live out. But I believe that as we take this time fasting and praying for the next 21 days, that God is going to unlock some areas of our lives. He's going to bring deliverance to some that have been addicted. He's going to set some people free from the internet and the things they were addicted to on that. He's going to bring some of the prodigals home. He's going to do supernatural things in you, through you, and around you because you consecrated yourself and you said, Lord, I know that you can do this because you can do all things when Christ strengthens me. Jesus fasted for 40 days before he started his ministry, before he started the miraculous. He went on a fast for 40 days up onto the hill. What was the name of that? Right outside of Jericho. What was that mountain that we... Remember we took their ride up? We went up there where Jesus was and where he did his fast. Can I tell you? It's desert. He didn't have that nice cushy bed that you sleep in, the hot shower. But his desire was not my will, but yours be done. And in this time of fasting, that's what this is. Not my will, but yours be done. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed the blessings of God, and they have been rich, and they have added no sorrow to my life, no matter what I have walked through. Have there been times of pain and grieving and sorrow? Yes. But I want you to know I am richer because of the Christ that lives on the inside of me. Through it all, he has made a way. And we still stand victorious right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And now God wants to unlock something else, unleash something else in you. Because the Spirit of God lives inside of each and every one of us. The Spirit lives in there and he wants out. And sometimes we get so full of the world and ourselves and food that we don't listen so clearly. This is a time to start listening to exactly what God is calling you to do. And again, if you've never fasted for more than, you know, a meal, if you've never done a meal, do a meal. Do a meal every couple of days. If you fasted for a day, do 3 days. If you've done 3 days, fast for a week with us. If you can go to 21 days, go to 21 days with us. I want you to know your body will survive. Some people, there's no way I can do that. That's what other people said last year. People that never fasted before. They said, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. Can I tell you, after about day 7 to day 11, somewhere in there, you stop. Your body isn't craving. In the beginning, the first 3 days, it's really not a fast. It's just getting rid of all of that junk in your trunk. Right? The first 3 days, you're living on stuff you've been chucking down your head for the last 2, 3 weeks or month, whatever it is. And then after the third day, then it's actually the fast starts to kick in. And then about day 10, somewhere right around in there, you start to lose that desire, that hunger, the hunger pain and the thought process in your mind starts to change. And then they say by about day 17, you don't even care about eating anymore. That's why some of these people, they starve themselves to death. Because eventually they don't even care about food. We're not doing that just to get rid of food. We're doing that to press into God and to unlock something that's been cooped up inside of us so that we can hear more clearly. Amen? Stand up this morning. I want you to know the miraculous happens through acts of obedience to the Word of God. When you said, Lord, forgive me of my sins, everything changed in a moment. Amen? You came up out of that water and you were a brand new creature. And I want you to know that as we spend time in the Word, praying and fasting, and only the Word of God before our eyes for the next 21 days, things start to change. Oh, and it's beautiful. Every year, it's been a beautiful time. So come and join us for prayer. 6 to 7 in the morning, Monday through Friday. 6 to 7 at night, Monday through Friday. Sunday mornings from 9 to 10, and then Wednesdays from 12:30 to 1:30. The Bible says that my house shall be a house of prayer. That's what we're doing. I can't wait to hear what God has spoken to each and every one of you and what he's about to do. Get ready to poke another hole in your belt buckle or in your belt because you'll need it. And that's a good thing. Amen. Let's go before him in prayer. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. And today, Lord, as we look at your word and as you called a fast, Lord, this time that our nation needs it in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we have watched and we have seen, and whether it was the book of Joel or whether it was Jehoshaphat, when the enemy had come and was going to overpower them, Jehoshaphat called a fast and the whole tribe of Judah went in and fasted before the Lord. And you were their deliverer. And Father, right now, as we enter into this time tomorrow morning or tonight after midnight, Lord, that as we enter into this time of a fast, we pray for our nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, a nation that is pulling itself apart, it's ripping itself to pieces because they have left the power of your word. Let our hearts be filled with compassion for our nation, for the leaders, oh God. That you would touch them in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, arrest their hearts, arrest their minds, draw them back to that place knowing that one day they will close their eyes forever and give an account for how they led this great nation. Father, we pray for families to be delivered in the name of Jesus. Lord, those divisions and schisms to go in the name of Jesus. For the prodigals to come home now in the name of Jesus. We look forward to the miraculous happening in their hearts. Lord, even those that we haven't seen, those we haven't talked to, but you know no time and no distance, and your spirit is mighty, it's powerful, and there's nothing that can stop it from accomplishing that which you have spoken in your word. And Lord, finally we pray for the power in the house of God through each and every person. For we all are the power and the authority that you have given us. It is inside of us. And I pray that that's unleashed in each and every one. That, Lord, as we said in your word, we agreed that it is no longer we that live, but it's Christ who lives inside of us. And the life that we live by faith right now, right now, right now, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. We know that all things are possible according to your word, oh God. And Lord, today, we just thank you for the power being released where men and women step up and say, I know that my God inhabits my life. His spirit has filled me up. Therefore, when I stretch out my hand, power will be infused into someone else's life. When I speak the words of life, it's the same power that when Jesus spoke them, and hearts will be turned towards the kingdom of God. Father, we pray for those three this whole fast, over our nation, over the families, and for the power of God to be manifested through your church, that many more would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for reminding us over and over again, for in him we live and move and have our being. Lord, today we are strong, we are mighty in the Lord. And Lord, we agree that as we walk together, where one puts 1,000, two put 10,000. And so right now, the beginning of this year, Father, we're going to unlock that which you have called us to do. I thank you for dreams and visions in the men and women of God. Father, that even in the nighttime that you would wake them up, and when they wake up, they would write it down on a piece of paper and they would watch it come to pass in their lives, or they would go and share the word that you have written down on their hearts. Father, I pray your blessing upon each one as we enter into this time and this season, that you would be glorified through it all. We would put a smile on our face. We would be refreshed in our attitudes. And Lord, we would live simply that others may simply live. We magnify you today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.